Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Final hour, Robbie Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday. Taking you through the day here, looking ahead to this matchup between the Titans and the Ravens, a huge matchup this week for the Titans. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, as well as go around the league, we bring in Adam Kaplan, SiriusXM NFL insider, here to the show. Adam, thanks for taking time to join us. We appreciate it.
Guys, good to talk to you.
So, Adam, obviously Titans fans looking forward to this matchup against the Ravens. I want to ask you about Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
His numbers don't look quite the same as they did a year ago in his MVP campaign. The offense at times just looks anemic, quite frankly. What have you made of Lamar Jackson so far this year, and how do you think teams have adjusted to playing him?
Guys, I think with Lamar Jackson, he's one of a bunch of quarterbacks this season that really did not benefit from this offseason. He needed more work in terms of the pass game. Talking to a Titans source, that was the thing they were going to expand the passing concepts with him, because obviously he was the MVP, did a really good job. But he really needed those offseason practices. He missed probably between all the offseason practices and the abbreviated training camp and no preseason, probably 400 to 500 snaps. And you can't make those up. I mean, he just didn't have it. And it absolutely has impacted the pass game. They're a team that's completely built from having a lead. They're not built to play from behind. Just look at the playoffs. Lamar Jackson's numbers are horrific in the playoffs. They're terrific in the regular season for the most part. This season, not as good, but not like he's played badly. He's just not playing anywhere near the level that he did last year. And I've asked this opinion of a lot of people I trust around the National Football League, and they all seem to say it in their own way that not getting those offseason reps has hurt him. The timing down with his young receiver group, they've got really a lot younger other than Willie Snead at receiver. Mark Andrews, their outstanding tight end, who had a good game last night, has not gotten the balls enough. His numbers are down. And their pass numbers are way down. It's not getting that time together has hurt them, and now they're without Ronnie Stanley, their left tackle, for the rest of the season. That's a problem. And if you just add it all up, it's not surprising that Lamar's dropped off to the point that he looks kind of ordinary, unfortunately, as a passer.
So how do you view them overall moving forward then, Adam? I mean, I still think they're a very good defensive team. You mentioned Stanley. That's a big loss. I mean, are they a second-tier AFC contender now?
Well, I picked before the season started, and right now it looks good, but you just never know how it's going to work out. I picked the Saints and the Chiefs to make the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are now the NFL's best team. I know Pittsburgh's 9-0, but if you've watched them, they're shaky 9-0. They're not great. They're a good, very good football team. But after the Chiefs and the Steelers and the Bills, who, that game was unreal yesterday. I still can't believe it that they lost. But anyway, the Bills are right up there. You guys know it because the Titans just lost to the Colts. Colts are really good. They're really good defensively. It's kind of wide open. They're no dominant teams anymore because of a lot of reasons. The way the defenses are now, they're at a disadvantage because of the rules and so forth. And it's been obviously an odd year with the COVID situation. But the Chiefs right now are the best. And as I outlined, those other teams are right there. The Titans, they're tied for first place. The Colts now have the advantage. Obviously, they play again. They still have to play one more time. We learn a lot about the Titans that they've got some issues which unfortunately are not going to be able to be solved, particularly on the offensive line because of injury and kind of where they're at there. But overall, they'll hang in it. But the Chiefs are there. Ravens are there. You're right. Their defense is good, but the Ravens have issues on offense, and their defense is still really good, but it's not dominant because last year. When you have the way that's been explained to me, guys, in the National Football League, when you're dominant on one side of the football and you're good on the other, you're probably a Super Bowl contender. And right now, unfortunately, they're not a Super Bowl contender, the Ravens are, because they're not dominant on defense. They're good, very good, but they're not dominant, and they're clearly not good enough on offense.
SiriusXM NFL insider Adam Kaplan here with us on Robbie and Rexrode. So, Adam, as you evaluate the other conference and look at the NFC, who would you say the best team in the NFC is right now? When you're talking about maybe the Saints, the Packers technically have the one seed right now. It's been crazy how wide open the NFC has been, and every team that you would consider a contender, at least in my opinion, has some flaws to their game.
Yeah, I would agree with you. The Saints right now, if we had to re-rank them, I would go the Saints 1, After that, I mean, I called it last year. Now they did make the playoffs. They played deep in the playoffs, but I thought the Packers were a fraudulent team. I still don't think they're that good. Their defense really scares me. Their top two corners were out yesterday, and that helped Jacksonville hang in the game. But I don't think Green Bay's in it for the long haul. I don't think their defense is going to be good enough. We know how much of a joke the NFC East is, so we don't need to even go there. That's an embarrassment, that division. I give the Giants credit, though. They did a good job against the Eagles yesterday. They really have turned their season around. They actually have a pretty – if the Eagles lose this week, they're half a game out of the of first place. But New Orleans, listen, New Orleans is sort of Jekyll and Hyde. They got off to a bad start defensively. They're playing really good defense right now. They handled the Niners. They got off to a bad start, and Drew Brees right now doesn't look good for him with that rib injury this week. So we'll see what happens there. The Bucs, I can't figure them out. I really thought 2 or 3 weeks ago they were gonna be right there to potentially get to the Super Bowl. It was a good win. They got off to a bad start yesterday, but then they rolled. I don't know how good they are. They're good, but they're not as good as maybe their record would indicate now at 7-3. We'll have to see. Arizona's simply not good enough on defense. And the Rams are too Jekyll and Hyde to me. Seattle's got an awful defense. That's pretty much it. I mean, Chicago's hanging in there. I talked to the Bears over the weekend. They kind of know who they are. They have a three-game losing streak. The quarterback, unfortunately, Nick Foles is under siege because their line can't protect him. So they'll limp into maybe a wild card spot. But it's pretty much how I see right now the NFC.
Very disappointed you didn't mention the surging Detroit Lions there.
Yeah, I heard, but you know, it's funny. I'm listening before I came on there. I mean, they're just bad. I mean, Matt Patricia's not done a very good job. Let's call it like it is. They don't do anything particularly well. That's a problem. Although they have a really good young running back in DeAndre Swift. I've been very impressed with. I give Bob Quinn, their GM, credit for that one. But they also left Travis Fulgham go, so you know how that's worked out for them.
Mm. Yeah, so MVP right now, Adam, are we going to just wind all the way back around to, just give it to Mahomes and call it a day? No?
No, okay. No. Well, it was Russell Wilson up to about 2 weeks ago, and Russell's turning the ball over at an alarming rate, which is not like him. I think it's wide open. Quite frankly, up to maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, you could have said that Tannehill was in the race. Now, I would obviously not say it now, but it's not his fault. The problem is the tackle situation for the Titans. It's not going to get any better. You have these guys, and that's all they have right now because the first-round pick's not ready, and you lost the left tackle for the season. But, yeah, Mahomes now is starting to roll a little bit, no question about it. You know he's not going to get any votes but should get some. Derek Carr is playing at a very high level. The Raider defense isn't very good, but, folks, they're only two games out of first place, and guess what? They already beat the Chiefs once. They're not going to win the division because I don't think their defense is going to be good enough, but I give Derek Carr credit. We're not talking about him enough. He's had a very good season. And Ben Roethlisberger is having a good season. We don't talk enough about him. Brady's also played very, very well. He's in my top five. I vote in at least two polls, and Brady will be in my votes. Kyler Murray also is in there as well. There's been a lot of good quarterback play this season, folks. Don't let anyone tell you differently.
Adam Kaplan, SiriusXM NFL Insider, joining us here on Robbie and Rex Show. Adam, last thing for you here. As you look at Miami, they're a very interesting team to me.
Yep.
Tua comes in. Yep. They're 3-0 since he's taken over. That defense, I think, is a lot better than most people think it is. Mm-hmm. What do you make of the Dolphins so far?
Yeah, and they're only a half a game out of first place. That's the one team that I missed on the season. I didn't see it because, they got a lot of criticism from some teams that I'm pretty close to around the league and who looked at all the free agents they signed and they scratched their head. Remember last year, people thought they were attacking, which they weren't doing. They just were getting rid of a lot of players. They didn't think they could help them. And they spent like sailors for, I don't know how else to say it, in free agency. And quite frankly, it's worked. And, I remember talking to a Dolphins source who told me, look, the reason why the Dolphins made the change to Tua is they kind of knew who Fitz was. Yeah, they were 500 at the time. And they wanted to put Tua in a situation where he would be in kind of a deal where they were trying to make the playoffs and put him in the pressure cooker. And I give him credit that it's not easy. There was Brian Flores. It came right. That was his decision. The ownership had nothing to do with it, I'm told. And that was the right decision. And he's doing a good job. The first game was not very good against the Rams where he didn't have to throw it anyway because their defense was great. But you're right though. Their defense is something else right now. They're doing a great job. And right now they're in the thick of it for a wild card.
SiriusXM NFL Insider Adam Kaplan has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Adam, appreciate you taking time to join us, man. Great stuff.
Guys, thank you.
Absolutely. It is interesting. We were talking about the mix earlier that the Titans are hung up in right now between the Browns and the Dolphins and the Raiders. The Dolphins defense playing awfully well, and you heard Adam talk about
maybe Derek Carr as a dark horse MVP candidate. I mean, he's got that Raiders team looking pretty good so far.
That's first time I've heard that name mentioned, but he is playing well. The Kyler Murray thing, I definitely thought of that yesterday as Russell Wilson has sort of faded. I mean, to me, Tom Brady has taken a step back too, for sure.
Another good day yesterday, though.
Yeah, he did. But the Saints game, getting swept by them, I don't.
I think it's Mahomes and everybody else right now.
Right. That's what it seems to me like. No, someone else has to really be compelling, I think, in the end for people not to say, it's the best player in the NFL and his team's, 14-2 or whatever they're going to end up.
I mean, he's
got
25 touchdowns and one pick.
That's not bad.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
8.2 yards an attempt. He's playing pretty well.
It's basically all season, everyone trying to look around for someone else.
Do you think, and maybe we're already there, but eventually we get to the point like LeBron is in the NBA, where you're like, all right, we know how good this guy is. Who's the next guy we can give it to who's playing, close to that level?
But how about that Josh Allen?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like Russell Wilson, there's a sentiment there because he's never had a vote, and he was amazing early, but tell you what. But he threw one pick.
Pick in the end zone yesterday against the Rams.
What are you doing? Yeah, he's fading too. They're fading. But, ultimately, I think you're right. I think we're going to have a lot of years like that where it's like, Baker, whoever, throw whoever you want out there. It's like, by the way, Mahomes over here has 5,000 yards, and they went 13-3. So you could just keep giving it to him.
It's pretty good. When we come back, we'll get into the NFC a little bit. Is there anybody in the NFC that we would consider a true Super Bowl threat? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth. Taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Adam Kaplan from Sirius XM joining us in the last segment. And it's an interesting question we brought up with Adam. As you look at the AFC, we've talked about it, 9 teams with 6 wins or more through the first 10 weeks. That's the first time that's happened since the AFC and the NFC became a thing in 1970. So the AFC, a very good year so far. The NFC, it's interesting. You look at the other side and the other conference, and you're trying to determine exactly what the pecking order looks like. And the Saints have come on a little bit of late. The Packers running away with things in the NFC North. But I don't think there's a team in the AFC right now, or in the NFC right now, excuse me, that you look at and you're just terrified of. I think if you said any of the Saints, the Rams, the Seahawks, the Packers, the Cardinals, if you told me that any one of those teams was coming out of the NFC and representing that conference in the Super Bowl, I could see that. And whereas in the AFC with Pittsburgh and Kansas City and how dominant they've been so far this year, it feels like the AFC, there's probably 2 or 3 teams you could put ahead of any team you want to throw out there in the NFC.
Yeah, but I would also say when you say terrified of, I'm not terrified of the Steelers.
No, you're terrified of the Chiefs.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's honestly, I would make it one tier and that would be the Chiefs. One team, one tier. But, yeah, I think there's multiple teams better in the AFC than the NFC. And I think Adam Kaplan brought up a good point about your Packers and questions about the defense. I still think the Saints, because I love their defense, think if they got it all put together with Breeze healthy and with Kamara rolling and get Michael Thomas going like he has gone in the past, I think that's your best team.
And they're starting to bring it together a little bit. Now, Drew Brees is injured, and he could be out for the next few weeks here. So that certainly derails that some, and you've got Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill as your backup options there. But, I mean, the Saints have won, I think, 5 in a row, maybe 6 in a row, and they look pretty good. They haven't lost since they lost to the Packers, and their defense has been really the main difference. I mean, their offense, you know what they have with Kamara, Drew Brees. Even though there's this thing going around, he can't throw the ball down the field anymore, he's still completing about 80% of his balls. So that offense is going to be fine. Getting Michael Thomas back is huge for them. But defensively, that's the progress they've made, because their defense, first few weeks this year, it wasn't good. They couldn't get a pass rush. They made Alan Lazard from the Packers look like DeAndre Hopkins. They couldn't cover anybody. And now their defense is starting to play pretty well again.
Yeah, Breeze is like Phillip Rivers without the picks. Throwing to his back all day, just ding, ding, ding. But, he won't make the ridiculous mistake. I still think that's good enough. Really interesting game Rams-Bucks this week. Because I do think the Rams are a team that could be there at the end. I mean, they're sound and solid on defense. I don't love Jared Goff, but I like what they do on offense. That's going to be a really interesting game of two would-be contenders.
I think so, too. Like, you could make an argument that the Rams, I think, are the second-best team in the NFC. I would put the Saints at number one just because of the defense. And when Drew Brees is healthy, I still think he's good enough to win. So I would put the Saints at one. I think you can make an argument that the Rams are number two, just given how good their defense is. You've got Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey back there. They're good against the pass. Like you said, Jared Goff, I mean, he's not great, but their offense is solid. Like, Sean McVay is a great play caller, as we know. I think they're solid on offense. Whereas you look at Green Bay, like, their offense can be good, especially when Adams is healthy. Their defense has got some major problems. Arizona, I think their defense has got some problems. I'm not even going to spend time talking about Philadelphia. And then Tampa Bay, I mean, we saw it against the Saints. There's one week where they look great and look like the best team in the league. And then the next week, their defense can't do anything. They can't cover anybody. And Tom Brady goes in the shell. Like, I don't know what to make of Tampa Bay. Like, there have been weeks where they look really, really good. And then they'll follow it up, and they look like they don't belong in the same league with some of the teams they play.
I will say that I did not foresee the 98-yard Ronald Jones touchdown run this year.
That was a good one.
That's pretty good.
The Carolina defense struggled a little bit.
Yeah, Carolina too. They've actually looked like a football team a couple weeks this year, and then a lot of it not. But, yeah, Brady 28-39, 341-3 against them. I mean, obviously, again, they've got the weapons, you know, and Godwin has a big day yesterday. They actually get Antonio Brown going.
Seven catches.
16. So between Godwin, Evans, and Brown, you're talking about 19 catches between those two guys. Plus, Gronk gets you, you know, a 44-yard touchdown. So, yeah, they can look awfully scary at times, and I do think they have a lot of defensive talent. But that's also, week to week, they are all over the map on that side of the ball, too.
I feel like the Rams have almost been the most consistent team.
Yeah.
Of the teams you've listed.
Yeah.
Right. And, yes, Jared Goff is pedestrian, but Sean McVay is still their head coach calling those plays.
The problem is then they go to, you know, Miami and it's just turnover fest, and you're like, what is going on? And they lose to the Niners, you know. But I agree. I think you can find so much inconsistency throughout the whole conference. They're going to play D.
So is there anyone in the NFC that you feel like could even hang with Kansas City? Like, we talk about the AFC, and it's still Kansas City's, I think, conference to win. And they're going to be a heavy favorite for the Super Bowl. But as you look to the other side, is there anybody in the NFC where you're like, okay, I could see them winning the Super Bowl? Because if Kansas City's in the game, I'll be honest, I don't see anybody beating them. I really don't from the NFC.
Well, you have to outscore them. I don't care what defense you want to throw up there from the NFC. If they're not going to stop the Chiefs if the Chiefs are playing their best ball in the Super Bowl. So you got to have a team that can just, if it executes extremely well, it can go down the field on that Chiefs defense and try to keep up on the scoreboard. I do think the Saints, if they're at peak performance, could be that team. Actually, I mean, I look at the Packers too, and I still think that with the running game and with Rodgers and with Adams, they could get into a shootout with them maybe.
They'd have to score 50, but yeah.
Yeah. It'd have to be like that, you know, hey, can we give it a Super Bowl like 2 years ago with the Rams Chiefs 54-51?
Right.
So if it was the Rams, they wouldn't have a game like that anymore. They might actually
get a few
stops.
They did beat the Chiefs last year.
What's that?
The Packers did beat the Chiefs last year in Arrowhead. Mahomes wasn't playing, but that's beside the point.
Titans beat him with Mahomes last year.
Exactly.
I think the Saints, I think that's the best hope. Maybe the Bucks too. If the Bucks roll here with those three receivers, maybe.
Well, everybody's talked about the Seahawks all year with Metcalf and Carson and obviously Wilson, the level he's been playing. But, like, their defense is so bad, I don't know how they're going to stop anybody. Like, they can't stop average teams, much less going up against some of these really good teams, both in the NFC and the AFC. Like, Buffalo could they did whatever they wanted to against that Seattle defense. So, I'm not even sure I can say, even as good as Russell Wilson is and as good as that offense is, I think their defense is that bad. And I'm not sure I even consider them a threat anymore in the NFC.
Can they get better? I mean, I know they've had some guys out and stuff like that, but you know, you give up 37 to the Cardinals, 44 to the Bills. I mean, yesterday was kind of a boring game, but then Russell Wilson doesn't play well. So they've kind of like Titans. You know, again, 5-0, all of a sudden becomes 6-3 and a lot of questions.
And then you look at the NFC East, Philadelphia, 3-5-1, leading the NFC East. Just atrocious.
Maybe the Giants are going to win that. I mean, I don't know.
They might.
Daniel Jones, he's a good runner.
They're 3-7. They put themselves in position.
Gosh, I mean, they should have beat the Bucs. Flat out should have beat the Bucs on Monday Night Football.
They also had that Thursday night game against the Eagles where, I mean, they should have beaten the Eagles twice this
That's
year.
Right.
Can you imagine if the Giants had won that Thursday night game? They'd be leading the division at 4-6.
Joe Judge, baby. We all made fun of Joe
Without
Judge.
Without Saquon, by the way.
Yeah.
That's the most incredible part.
They could actually be kind of interesting.
With Wayne Gallman as their running back.
Deion Lewis getting a few
Deion
snaps.
Deion Lewis in there, yeah.
Blah.
Ooh, boy.
Blocking people on Twitter in the process. Yeah.
He blocks more people on Twitter than he does, you know, in pass protection.
Yeah.
I wonder if
there's a solid chance, yeah.
Huge, huge press contingent, you know, in New York. I wonder, like, that's got to take him like a whole week to get through everybody
sit there
up there.
And block everybody?
Has he blocked Francesa yet?
Oh.
I mean, I would hope that's an auto block for everybody on Twitter, right?
Oh, man. What do you make of Arizona with Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins? I still think they've got problems defensively. Doesn't help when you add Jonathan Joseph on defense either.
And you have to play him late in that game.
Would you say that Arizona may be the most exciting team to watch in the NFL right now with everything Kyler Murray can do? DeAndre Hopkins, how good he is. Still, I think, pretty widely regarded as the best receiver in the game. Are they the most exciting team to watch?
Even with
Kansas City included?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I'm going to go KC first, but they are awfully entertaining. You know? I mean, those teams with great offenses and bad defenses are, let's face it, they're fun. You know? I mean, they lose these games. I mean, they lost to the Dolphins 34-31 in a shootout. I mean, they've lost to the Lions and the Panthers. Think about what Arizona could be like running away with the NFC right now. But that after that play yesterday, it's hard to argue.
I mean,
who's more fun?
I hear you on the Chiefs, but their games are a lot more entertaining because every game goes down to the wire.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I mean, the Seattle game, that Sunday nighter a few weeks ago was incredible. The Dolphins game went right down to the wire. Yesterday, the most miraculous Hail Mary we've seen in a long time.
They've played three straight total barn burners, 37-34 win over the Seahawks, 34-31 loss to the Dolphins, and then, 32-30 yesterday. So,
Should've been 33-30.
That's right.
He's really bitter about that.
You and Corey, I feel for you guys.
Well, the thing that makes Murray so, like, he's so good throwing the ball, they'll just take off and run. He's got 10 touchdowns on the ground this year, 600-yard rushing. Like, he's probably going to throw for 4,000 yards and run for 1,000. It's pretty incredible.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, he gets like 8 passes bad at the line every week, too.
Yeah.
You know, if he could just add like 3 inches of height, just imagine what he would be.
Yeah, 5'10". So what do you think he really is? Because, you know, like how some of these, like, the height gets listed sometimes.
Well, but the combine does it.
That's true.
I'm gonna find his combine height listing. I think he's I mean, he can't be shorter than 5'10", right?
Well, he looks pretty short out there.
Yeah.
I know everybody around him is a giant, and they're like 6'5 on the offensive line. But he looks like a little kid out there.
Combined official 5'10 and an eighth. So,
ooh.
But still, I mean, that still looks little. But he's fun. I mean, he is so much fun to watch. Good
I got
to
be honest.
Picking football, buddy.
I did not think he would be this good in the NFL. I really didn't.
Right.
And I thought when he passed up the money in baseball, I was like, I don't know, man. But
he's been pretty good in that league at your size. But yeah, I'm glad he made that choice.
Yeah,
he's
been very exciting. When we come back, a big move made yesterday in the SEC on the coaching front, and also we'll get into another high profile coach in college football. Could this be the last year for Jim Harbaugh at Michigan? We'll discuss that on the other side. But first, I've got a word from FanDuel, and I got to tell you, it was not a great weekend for Robbie Stanley on FanDuel, but I rebounded at the end, and you're watching the game, you see another ad for FanDuel Sportsbook, and you think to yourself, is that legal here in Tennessee? Well, you bet it is. FanDuel Sportsbook is now legal, and you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, no strings attached. Just place any bet you want, and if you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit so you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. And this weekend, an interesting line right now, 10.5 points for Tennessee at Auburn. I violated my rule last week and went with Tennessee. I may go the opposite route this week and ride with the Auburn Tigers. We'll see what happens on that front. With it, FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays where you combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And once you win, you get your winnings on FanDuel Sportsbook in as little as 24 hours, and I took advantage of that just yesterday on my FanDuel Sportsbook app. So that's one of the really good parts about FanDuel Sportsbook. You get your money very, very quickly. So to claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code ROB. That's R-O-B, so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. November is Hockey Fights Cancer Month, and the Preds Foundation needs your help towards the Smashville Donates campaign. Visit NashvillePredators.com/365Fund to make a donation to the 365 Pediatric Cancer Fund presented by Twice Daily. Purchase Hockey Fights cancer gear or learn more. You can also bid on silent auction items by texting PREDS to 76278. Follow at Preds Foundation on Twitter and Instagram for more info. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Speaking of the Preds, the reverse retro jerseys have come out in the NHL. The Preds have released theirs. A lot of teams around the league. What have you made of the retro reverse jerseys you've seen in the NHL?
I hate
there
all.
There are some that are really good. There are some that are absolutely terrible.
I hate all uniforms.
You hate all uniforms?
Well, I hate all alternative uniforms.
Do you?
As a rule. But explain to me the retro jersey. So the reverse retro, does this mean that that's a retro jersey, but the color scheme is flipped? Is that right?
It's basically blending the old with the new.
Yeah.
For all 31 NHL teams.
Yeah. So, like, if you look at the Preds one that's come out, which I've retweeted, by the way, at @RStanleyNHL on Twitter, they've got, like, combinations from a lot of different eras. Like, the yellow is there from now. You got an old logo from an alternate jersey. The mustard alternate logo with the skull is on the shoulder patch. That's pretty cool. Like, they combined a lot of different jerseys.
So why is it reverse retro?
I don't know. That's just what the NHL called it.
Or Adidas.
Yeah, Adidas.
I mean, I think it looks like a fine jersey. It doesn't look that different to me, though.
It's not overly different. But, I mean, you're thinking about also the Preds. And they've been here 20 years. So they don't have, like, the deep well to go from as some of these teams. Like the Ducks. They came out with theirs. It's awful. It looks terrible.
It was the one that they used like one or two seasons.
It is so bad.
Late 90s.
And the sad part is, like, the Ducks have, in my opinion, like one of the greatest hockey jerseys of all time that could have gone back to with like the actual Mighty Ducks jersey.
They already have that jersey, though.
Not really, though. It's
they've
kind of
already done a reverse retro with it.
But it's a modern version. There was nothing wrong with the original version is what I'm getting at.
I would agree that jersey is awful.
The new Ducks one? Yeah, it's terrible.
The new old. I thought the Preds Winter Classic jerseys were very cool.
Yes.
Again, even as someone who's opposed in general to anything but your actual uniform.
Really?
I thought those. Yeah, it's stupid. I just, especially college sports. I understand why you do it. But you're messing with some really good uniforms some weeks where I'm like, what am I watching here? I covered a Michigan State game a few years ago. Kirk Cousins was a quarterback. Michigan State looked like they had G.I. Joe outfits on. Looked like little army men. And Michigan looked like bumblebees. I'm like, you guys have great uniforms. What am I watching out here?
Oh, man.
Like, it ruined the football game for me.
Were you not a fan of the Tennessee smoky gray jerseys?
Stupid. Why?
I loved them.
Really?
Yeah, I thought they were awesome.
Like Ohio State, you know, they've got great iconic uniforms, and they come out with these dumb gray things. Just get out of here. Get off my lawn.
Is this your old man moment of the day?
Yeah.
Or you just hate all uniforms?
Exactly. I haven't had a crotchety old man moment, and here it is. We get into uniforms, and I will go there quickly.
Okay.
The cleanest of the reverse retro, in my opinion, is the Colorado Avalanche.
slash Quebec Nordiques.
Yes. Yeah, having the maroon and navy with the Quebec Nordiques logo. It is nice.
Pretty nice. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, did Joe hate the navy alternate the Preds had a few years ago? Have you seen like these all navy jerseys the Preds had? A lot of people loved them. They were back in like 2010.
I don't really like, for whatever reason, I don't really like the navy thing with the Preds. I like, in fact, when I got here, they still had that a lot in the jersey and then took it out the next year, and I think it looks better without. So I'll say yes, I hated that too. I am looking at this Nordiques thing. That is kind of cool with the Avs. That's creative.
So you're switching.
Yeah, that's a like creative little sort of combining of the past. Yeah, I like that.
So what do you think of NBA teams when they come out with like eight different jerseys in a single season?
They got
season?
15 a year.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just like you know, the NFL, it's become obviously a very big marketing thing. It makes total sense. Oh, a fan has got to buy this now. So I understand why it's done. I think for the most part, they're stupid. I mean, I think a very small percentage of them are actually good.
When's the last time you wore a jersey? Like, what age did you stop? Did you throw your little Joe Isaiah Thomas Pistons jersey in the closet?
Yeah,
and it was to never come out again.
Yeah, I never even had one of those.
Man.
Gosh, I'm trying to think. Last time I wore a jersey. Oh. Might have been like playing sports, man. I mean, I like in high school. Like, I don't know. I don't think I've always wanted a Tigers jersey of a retro player from when I was a kid.
Right.
My wife still hasn't bought me one. Hint, hint, Katie.
Christmas is coming up.
Like to me,
it's right
it's,
around the corner.
Like to me, just my thought on this. I know a lot of people.
Oh, you're
disagree.
About. I know where you're about to go, and you're about to piss a lot of people off. And
you know,
I'm here
like
for it.
Like the dude my age wearing the jersey of the 20-year-old.
Here we go.
Why don't you like to me? If you're gonna be an old man at a game wearing a jersey, wear someone from your era. You know, when you were a kid or when you were a little younger. That's what I.
So
would
there's
do.
An age limit.
Well, I'm not saying there's an angel. I'm just saying if I was going to get a jersey, I'm getting like a Lou Whitaker jersey of the Tigers. Or Isaiah Thomas or Barry Sanders.
Okay.
You know, not like the dude who I'm 20 years older than him.
So you wouldn't be rocking a Matt Stafford jersey?
Yeah.
No, my kid has a Matt Stafford jersey.
See, that's
he also has a
though.
Calvin Johnson jersey. Yeah.
That's pretty acceptable.
Yeah, of course. I told you that he went to the Packers-Titans game a few years ago. In the Lions jersey, and he had like drunken Packers fans screaming at him. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. We got a few of those.
we got a few of those. When's the last time Rob wore a jersey?
Oh, I don't know. Probably Dwayne Wade of some kind.
Okay.
Probably back in the championship runs they were having. Probably
no
Dwayne Wade jersey.
Okay. And
no
at that point, he was a little older than you. That's okay.
He still is a little older than me.
Yeah, but right, like you can always wear a Dwayne Wade jersey.
Sure,
I'm cool with that.
Yeah,
but if you
I've
come
never
out
been a
with
a jersey guy though,
come out with a Tyler Herro jersey next.
No,
year,
I can't do that.
Then, you know, but you're in your 20s. Whatever, you can do whatever you want, man.
Really,
the rules get more rules as you get older.
Okay, look, I think I was when you started going down. Let's go to the text line. I bet you got people so mad at you right now. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Drew texts in and says, sounds like a Jared Stillman take there with Joe and the jerseys.
Yeah. I don't know. Would Jared agree with me? Maybe Jared and I would agree on a take.
Oh, I think he would agree with you on this.
I don't think Jared's a big jersey guy.
I don't think he is either.
I'm a big jersey guy.
Oh, Port's the big one.
Yeah.
He's got more Cincinnati Reds jerseys than probably the city of Cincinnati.
And do you have current Cincinnati Reds jerseys? Current players?
Joey Votto, yes.
Okay.
Most are throwback, though.
Yeah, see, I like
those. Got a nice Johnny Bench in there.
Johnny Bench, Barry Larkin.
I love those.
Pete Rose.
Yeah.
Now signed, hanging on the wall.
Nice.
Sean Casey, Ken Griffey Jr.
Sean Casey. Yeah, those are great. I mean, the retro jerseys to me are awesome. And, again, kind of hearkening back, I'm not saying, you know, there's a problem if you wear, if you're an old man wear. Are you just saying, I would prefer the retro. I think the retro's cooler.
Okay. You're walking it back a little bit there. I like it.
Listen, there are worse crimes than being a middle-aged man wearing the jersey of a young player. There are worse crimes.
What if a 31-year-old is wearing the jersey of someone who's like 27?
Yeah, that's a gray area. You know?
I take that back. I know the last time I wore a jersey. My buddy, he played for the Rangers. He gave me his jersey.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. You know, yeah. It's your buddy.
Yeah, that's acceptable. He's the same age as me. Is that a violation?
Nah, that's, I have no problem with that.
Okay.
So I set that up, Joe, to then say that I own a Derrick Henry jersey.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
All right. He's just leaving it at that.
That's fine. Just looking off awkwardly to the side of the wall.
My son also has one of those.
Are you calling me a kid?
Oh, no. I'm just saying that you and he have something in common.
There you go.
Do you also have little cartons of chocolate milk for lunch?
No, but as of about a month ago, I had Lunchables for lunch a lot.
Yeah. That's funny. I was just going to say, we all like Lunchables.
You
right?
can never be too old for Lunchables.
They're like a dollar at Kroger.
Yeah, great.
Very financially efficient.
Yes, they are.
And very good.
Absolutely. We all love Lunchables here on this program.
Let's all agree.
When we come back, we'll wrap up the show, react to the Masters over the weekend, and look ahead at the matchup with the Titans and the Ravens. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Big weekend for Dustin Johnson. I mean, he pretty much from like late Thursday afternoon, early Friday morning on, Dustin Johnson like ran away with the Masters. Really good tournament by him. He wins the green jacket. How much of the Masters did y'all get to watch this weekend? I watched a pretty good amount. Yeah.
A lot.
I watched not a single hole.
No Tiger? Did you see Tiger's 10 that he shot on 12 yesterday?
Yes.
That was the first time in my life I've looked like Tiger Woods golfing.
That you've been able to relate to him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What, he go in the water 3 times?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That's scored tough. A 10.
10. On a par 3.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just I like the Masters where it is normally when there's no other sport.
April?
There's no football.
It
was different. They teed off at like 9 a.m. yesterday,
sure,
Joe.
Sure. Well, I know, but I mean, also I had to take kids to Sunday school and stuff like that. You know, I mean, you've got
fatherly
stuff
duties
going on, man. Yeah. But I would have watched, I probably would have watched a couple holes during that time period then, but I didn't. And I'm not sad about it. I'm sorry.
I thought it was great. Dustin Johnson's really fun to watch.
Yeah, he's good.
Justin Thomas.
He completely dominated.
He did. Like, I thought he would come back down to earth a little bit on, like, Saturday or Sunday. Did not happen. Looked really good.
Because didn't he he faltered a little bit early yesterday, didn't he? A little bit?
Yeah, but not much.
He had bogeys on, like, back-to-back holes on the front nine, but then recovered quickly.
Yeah. So good for him.
Yeah, good job, Dustin.
You big Dustin Johnson fan?
I'm just
he's married to Wayne Gretzky's daughter.
Right.
Paulina. She got some FaceTime yesterday.
She got a lot of FaceTime.
On the camera yesterday.
And that's again, Janet Jones? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, Janet Jones.
Yeah.
The mom.
Yeah.
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah.
Look at you with some celebrity hockey knowledge there.
I remember. Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember her in the 80s. A little bit of a star.
Yeah.
I think did she meet?
He was Wayne? Okay, too.
What's that?
Wayne was okay, too.
He was okay. But I think it must have been when he moved the huge trade to LA.
Yeah. You're saying they didn't meet on the streets of Edmonton?
I mean,
probably not.
I mean, they could have met on, you know, along the way somewhere,
you know.
But
weren't hanging out in Edmonton, Alberta. No disrespect.
Do you not like
the fine city of Edmonton?
I love being on a golf course. I hate playing because I stink so much. I've tried to get serious. I can't get good. I don't know why. And I really just have never really liked watching golf. I'm just not. I mean, again, I'll watch the Sunday of a major if it's close. I'll get into it. I'll watch a few holes if it's a close. And I watched it more, frankly, when Tiger Woods was in his prime.
Me too.
I did. I watched a lot more golf. But, yeah, for the most part, I don't think it's a very exciting sport to watch. That's just me.
I was really hoping that Tiger would be in it this weekend. Like, I didn't think he was going to win, but I was hoping he would make it interesting on Sunday. Because, like, when you see Tiger wearing red on Sunday, you're like, okay, this is about to get real. He wore it yesterday, and you're just like, all right, he has no chance. And then when he shot a 10, he really had no chance. That was bad.
Went from -3 to +4
in a matter of about
10 minutes.
That's brutal.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Going back to our conversation we had in the last segment, got a texter that says, so Joe, if your kid was to go pro, or a friend of your kid goes pro, would you wear their jersey at that point if they make it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Even a friend of the kid.
Yeah, I would. Well, I mean, if it's a like if it's a friend of the family.
Yeah.
I guess if it's like a friend of my kid, I don't know him, then maybe not.
Let me go buy that jersey.
But if if it's like a friend, like a family friend, somebody else, you know, kid, I'd do that.
Okay.
Still might feel a little weird, but it's cool. I'd do it.
We got a texter that texted in on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What if you're wearing a USA men's soccer jersey that's a guy from your hometown, but he's younger than you? That's acceptable to me.
Yeah.
But what if you like?
I think if there's a personal connection to anything.
But what if you don't know him? He's just from your hometown.
Well, so what's your home? Is your hometown like New York City? You know, then probably not.
It's hometown.
Yeah. Like if it's Climax, Michigan, where my mom grew up. 600 people.
That's a real place?
That's a real place.
Okay.
People steal the sign all the time. then you know them. You know? So, yes, that would be cool. Yeah, if it's like Chicago. Whoa, shame hometown. Then no.
Does the sign say, welcome to Climax?
Yes. And, yes, it is stolen a lot.
Can't imagine why.
Yes. I'm so glad we got the Climax Scots Panthers, baby. My uncle almost led him to the state championship in basketball. Very exciting stuff.
Oh, yeah. Would have been the climax of his high school career there.
I mean, really, like, I don't know. I don't know how it's gone lately, but I know they had a real run where someone was coming and stealing that sign a lot.
Got to watch out in Michigan.
Yeah. There's some interesting
stuff. You know, like,
in Michigan.
Those, when there's like a tornado going through here or severe weather, and you're watching the news, and just those random towns in Tennessee, like Bucksnort, pop up, and
that's a great.
Got a lot of weird ones in Michigan, or is that about as weird as it
there's
gets?
Hell? Yeah, there's a hell Michigan. There's also a bad axe Michigan.
Really
bad axe.
Okay,
and those are probably the best two I can think of.
Man.
Yeah, they're probably the best three. That's the trifecta: climax, hell, and bad axe.
Can you imagine living in hell, Michigan? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I think they do some fun stuff on Halloween.
I would imagine so. You've got poor Roland over here. He can't contain himself.
You know, that's another thing that's Michigan, and it's not as much here. Maybe I haven't heard it, but Halloween, Devil's Night. You guys come aware of Devil's Night?
No.
Okay, well, I guess it's a Michigan thing. The night before Halloween is like vandalism, just crazy. It's called Devil's Night. Basically, it's like teenagers go out and vandalize everything. But they've had some like devil's nights in Michigan that are bad.
Why can't people behave in Michigan? My God.
I know. And so I think the devil's night in hell is especially bad.
Speaking of Michigan, what we were supposed to get to in the last segment, but we never did because we start talking about jerseys. Jim Harbaugh loses again on Saturday. Is his tenure in Michigan coming to an abrupt halt, in your opinion?
Well, he won't be fired.
You don't think so?
I do not think so. I think Ward Manuel, the AD, is totally committed. It is interesting. Andy Staples at The Athletic today had a piece about that. I had no idea. $8 million is all for his buyout. He did not get a bump that usually a coach will kind of demand. I mean, he's had enough success to have gotten that,
true,
right? But he never did. So it would be cheap for them to move on. I do think that there's a good chance he moves on.
Really?
Yeah.
Back to the NFL.
Yeah, but then that's another thing. Like, what's the market for Harbaugh in the NFL right now?
I don't know.
I don't think it's what it was. I think certainly 5 years ago when he went to Michigan, a lot of NFL teams were interested in him and would have been interested in him. And I just don't know. I think we've seen some real issues. He's kind of like Pruitt in the sense of constantly changing staffers to where it's like, what do you want and how hard is it to work for you? But what we saw the other night, that was garbage. That was the low point for me. I mean, that was the biggest deficit they've had ever in that stadium at halftime. 1927, that place was built.
There were very eerie similarities between how they looked after like the third drive of that game and what Tennessee looked like against Arkansas in the second. I mean, they looked like they'd rather be anywhere else. Jim Harbaugh included.
Right.
Like he looked like on the sideline he knows how bad this is going.
Did you guys see him put his headset microphone inside his mask? Yes.
Well, it's so dumb. He puts the mask over it, but then there's a gap that's out because it's on.
Yeah, he's accomplishing nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just great. You covered up your headset. Thanks, Jim.
Can't see the play call.
Not translating much offensive success for the Wolverines.
He's the classic, like, you know, take the mask down and then cover your face with the play sheet, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a mess, man. But I don't think there's any way Michigan fires him. I really don't.
Anyway, I think there's at least a small chance. Especially now that we know the buyout's not that big. I think there's a small chance.
I'll tell you, I will be shocked. I mean, I guess if they lose to Rutgers, maybe, you know, then maybe let's revisit.
Not out of the realm.
Next Monday. I mean, that actually looks like it could be an okay game.
Yeesh. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren, Donick, and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.